Aha. You hear it now? Okay. All right. Well, still enjoying our time at the conference, rejoicing at how the Lord has met us and this continues to meet with us. It's nothing short of a living miracle. Now, the last message that I shared, I kind of was stopped by the word of God in the book of Amos by a simple verse which said, seek God and live. And as you know, it has been my intention through the years to kind of go through a series of messages, the last being the book of John. You guys were patient with me as we went pretty much line by line through the book of John. And it took some years. But I've been stopped recently and had a sense from the Lord that we should continue kind of a little bit more topical. And so today's verse goes along with this. And there's context to the verse, and I'm going to tell you where it is to begin with. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, and specifically verse 22, which we're going to start with. Now, these verses are in context of the book of Matthew that we're studying there on Friday night, and of what comes before it and what comes after it. But these two verses stand alone by themselves too, which is often the testimony of the Word of God. These two verses are really backed up by the fullness of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And there's so many verses that it's easy for a preacher to get lost in the weeds. You know, where are we going to go here? There's so many verses on this subject in the Bible. But to me, the Lord made this very clear. It was a stunner verse to me. I know you've sensed it many times. You're reading the Word of God, and you get stunned. You think you've read it before, but you realize you maybe just glanced over it. And there's such truth there and such power in the Word of God. And this is it, which would stop me. Verse 22 of the book of Matthew. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Lord Jesus, we realize this is your word, and we realize that we need your help desperately. Lord, we're as little children. We can't do this without your help. Lord, to speak and to hear and to respond. All of these are a gift from above. And as already said, Lord, we're kept by your power. Now keep this word, Lord, and allow everything that's spoken of you to hit the heart, Lord, but everything that's not of you, Lord, just wash away. So, Lord, we commit it to you. We lift our hands to you, our whole being to you, Lord, asking you to help us. And so we commit this to this short time to you in Jesus' name. The lamp is the body of the eye. If therefore your eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. Now, before I even start here, I do want to say that if there's any condemnation that comes out of this, we need to realize, according to the Word of God, where it's coming from. It can come from ourselves and our own conscience, but more often than not, it comes from the devil using. And he's all about darkness, which we'll talk about a little bit today. But the cross of Christ really is the center of every message that we're bringing. Even if we don't sense it, maybe in the words that are said, I think it's important I say it up front. Because we know that for the believer, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But you might think that in a certain way, I stole this message from Ed Miller. But I was working on this message long before this, but I was a little bit stunned that it was pretty much the similar concept that he was preaching at the conference. And the first thing I want to study or talk about, at least, in this verse is the lamp. And what is the lamp? Is the lamp the light? What is the lamp? Is the question. I'm looking for an answer. It's a vessel. The lamp is a vessel. Thank you, Rachel. I think. But what is a lamp meant to do? In fact, my son is pretty crazy. I think he got a lot of this from me, unfortunately. Yeah, a whole lot. But he's now hiking in no man's land where nobody basically camps, and I got a message from my daughter-in-law. If you don't hear from us by Monday night, something bad happened. Send in the troops, you know? Because he goes on these tours where he takes his 5, 6-year-old and 9-year-old in places where very few people are, that are very difficult to get to, and he goes camping. But what do you need when you're camping at night? You need a lamp. But the point is that a lamp gives off or emits light. Doesn't absorb light, it emits light. And God, yeah, I will steal from Ed here, because somebody said it during the, I think it was Jim, or I don't forget who said it at the conference, but said all good preachers steal from one another, so I'm stealing now. And Ed said it's God's original intention to fill his house of skin with his glory. God in, man out, if I remember hearing this well. And there's a lot there, and I really do encourage, oh my goodness, if you couldn't go to the conference, you got to go on there. You have to be compelled to listen to these tapes. They're transformational. But I'd like us to, I think this idea of light and the vessel are so important. I'd like us to go to Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning. You know where I'm headed with this. But let's read it. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Now, that's amazing of what Jesus said here in Matthew, and which are the very first words that we have recorded in the Word of God in the creation. I don't like to call it the old creation. I like to call it the first creation, although that's up for debate. But these are the first words that are recorded. Let there be light. And I love this. In the first creation, think of this, and you know where I'm going. This is related to the new creation. God divided the light and the darkness. And he's doing the same today in the new creation, especially with his beloved. You see, you might not feel like it, but God sees the light that is in you. And that light is in you. Now, am I saying that we're good? No, I'm saying that we're quite evil. In fact, Jesus proclaimed that to the disciples, his beloved children. He said, if you therefore being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those, his beloved who cry to him night and day. Something like that, to that effect. See, the light that is in us now by the gospel is very good. And that's in the person of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:6, which you'll actually find in many of your Bibles, right there in verse 4 is a reference, says this, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." See, the moment we believed, and it's good to remind ourselves of this, God spoke into us and spoke into his new creation and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In the first creation, God said, "Let there be light," and he divided between the darkness and the light. In the new creation, the light is the very person of the Lord Jesus, stamped upon our heart as in the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and nobody knows how this works. But to me, it's kind of like a photograph that is flashed into the darkness, onto our heart, that takes years to develop sometimes, but it's there. It never loses its power or imprint in our life. So the first fact is that of this verse, when we're referencing back to Matthew again, is that we, as God's people, are the lamp or the vessel. And we'll talk about what else that is, too, a little bit later. And the second fact is that Jesus is alluding to the source of the light is the very person of the Lord Jesus. And the third, I call it not a fact, but a reality, that what Jesus intends, and I like how Ed did say that, God's intention for mankind, is that we be, and which is being reflected there in Matthew, is that it's God's desire that we be full of light. And that's what stunned me and has been giving me quite a bit of help in recent, maybe over the last month. And it would be my encouragement, we learn and actually memorize that verse here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. And this song, I believe, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." I don't know these people, who these hymn writers are. We're going to meet them, of course. But they see these things we talk about oftentimes. I know a lot of people will take time and research what their lives were like. Not always so easy. Not a lot different than our lives. But that this hymn writer got a hold of that. "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the very person of the Lord Jesus." Now when it says back in Matthew, turn back to Matthew again, chapter 6. We could keep our finger there. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." Now what's the whole body? It encompasses a lot. But I believe, and I take God at his word, and I take especially here what Jesus is saying. It encompasses the body, the mind, the soul, the spirit of a man. In essence, what we just read in 2 Corinthians 4:6 is transformational. And I like to read what F.B. Meyer said about, actually he said this about Genesis 1:3, but I believe it applies to Matthew verse 22 and what the Lord's alluding to. He said this, "At first, as in the physical creation, your heart and life may be seem to be without form and void. Do not be discouraged. The Spirit of God is within you, brooding amidst the darkness. And presently, his light will shine through." It's the promise of the gospel. "It is the blessed presence of the Lord Jesus that stirs in your heart and will presently," I like that, "presently rule in your life. His presence divides between the good and the evil. You must distinguish between Christ and yourself. Follow the gleam and you shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God's days begin in evenings, but always end in mornings. But God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We know that's the proclamation of the Bible. We have a little bit of a problem. We've all noticed this. We're in an earthly tent, and we've heard it 100 times, if not 1,000. We have a nature that's contrary to this. And isn't it a good thing that I believe the longer we become Christians, at least in my life, and I believe in almost everyone's here, that we see that there's a great delineation between what is light and what is dark. God's made it more clear to us. That's very helpful. I see that as good news. It's a very good news that what if we weren't? What if everything was convoluted and we were calling light dark and dark light? That's happening nowadays. But the reality is, this is God, what I believe is God's original intention. And no condemnation here, but we have to read verse 22 in light of verse 23, which says this: but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, God needs our cooperation. We talked about some facts. Fact one, that we are a lamp or a vessel. Fact two, that in every believer's life, that's really important. We can't distinguish this. Even who has the least a spark of faith. In fact, we even know, and we could go into this, but we're not. But this same light shines into the unbeliever's life and is brooding over every single person in this earth that they would become part of the new creation beyond any shadow of a doubt. But the Christian, boy, don't throw me out of here, but I really believe this, the Christian can abide in darkness. And why do I say that? Because the Word of God proclaims that. John proclaims that. He said this: he who hates his brother does what? Lives in darkness, or abides in darkness. Very potential to do this. And we can all, now look, I'm not preaching at you as much as I'm preaching at myself too here. These things apply to all of us. I mean, I think you understand. These are realities. But we have to be, there's a great danger. You know, F.B. Meyer just said, we have to learn to distinguish what is of Christ and what is of ourselves. There's a great danger for myself to be in love with my own ideas. And it can be real dark. And yet the Lord is brooding over us in this present dark age. And I will say, this is especially dark. Even I'll say, I believe for most unbelievers are starting to realize many unbelievers are realizing we're in a great age of darkness. The light of the gospel has shone on this country for many years. I'm going to give you an example of how mad it is. And I know all of you got to experience a lot of this yesterday. Got an Amber Alert. Who got an Amber Alert yesterday? Jan and I did. Okay, you didn't. But this is what it said. Don't go into Koreatown anywhere near this spa or you're going to be arrested. Okay. Well, what it was is there's a spa, and I'll say this as gently as I can, where somebody, and you probably may have heard this on the news, but somebody who identifies as a woman, but who's a male, went into a spa and basically disrobed in front of women and also minors. Can't do anything about it nowadays, because that's their right, I guess. This is what they're proclaiming. But you had two different groups of people protesting that this was allowed on one side of the street, and on the other side of the street, people that, you know, are saying this is fine. But you see, the whole country is full of darkness now. It's crazy. Things, now look, this couldn't even have happened 5 years ago without that person being thrown in jail. That's how fast this is deteriorating. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a little closer, but I don't think so. This has been rapidly de-evolving. Man's not going up. He's going down into darkness, and we're supposed to say that darkness is light and light is darkness. And if we're not focused on the light that God's given us, we're going to get confused. And the lines will start getting blurred on these items. See, because the natural man is full of darkness. And I believe what Jesus is really saying here is that if we walk by the power, and it's the overall influence of our life, walking by the power of the flesh, it's quite dark and full of darkness. Now, before I was saved, before somebody who was close to me was saved, I believe I was sharing something about the gospel to this person. And I looked at them, and I could tell. Now, this isn't something that you normally would say, but I said it. But I saw darkness there as I was witnessing to the person. And I actually told them, your eye is dark, and you need the light of the gospel. Now, I wouldn't suggest that's actually the best way to witness. But to this person, we tried everything in the kitchen sink, and the Lord used this. I believe it touched that person. Because every man knows that they're dark. Every heart longs for the very person of the Lord Jesus to fill their body, whether they know it or not. They desire and yearn with a great desire. That's why the whole world's so messed up and chases after every phantom that's possible. And we know that even in us here, even if we're full of light and we're, as Ed says, resting, or Greg actually said at the conference, I believe, resting and abiding. What was the other one? Worship. And worshiping. You know, even the best of God's children get confused on this. And we have trouble sometimes, and this is where he needs the Lord's help. We have to confess to him. We have trouble sometimes telling the difference between light and dark. But there's the wonderful thing about light, and the lamp of the body is the eye, and your whole body will be full of light. See, the light is far greater than the darkness. And light chases darkness away. It doesn't happen the other way around. You might say, well, you don't know what I've done as a believer, and I might say, I don't, and keep it that way. You know what I mean? Sometimes too much is shared. Sometimes I hear things I ought not to hear. I would prefer not to have heard them. But let me ask you something. If we really believe, and I believe the devil's intention is to keep us from the light of Christ and dwelling and abiding and worshiping this. And sometimes our own conscience is guilty and we feel we're not, I can't measure up. But all I can say in light of today's message, did Christ die for your sins and you know it? Were you raised with Christ? See, you feel like this is a baptism message and you know it. See, then you have the full right as a Christian to walk in the light and to fix our eyes on the light. Now listen, I don't care, as we read in the book of Matthew recently, if you were in league, even after you became saved, with 1,000 demons. The light that is Christ in you is far greater than the present darkness of the natural man or this present age. This is God's intention for every dear child of God, that the eye would be good and full of light. Now I've got a picture, and I was going to have Jan do it, but Rachel's in charge today. I want to show a picture up here that my son David took. I stole it from Instagram. Yeah, I'm ready. Show number one. I think it's down there somewhere, isn't Jan? She had already had it open, I think. No. And it's this one, Church Final PDF. Did you like the title? Oh, that means it probably is already open, Jan. Can you take a look? It's probably there somewhere. Oh, we got time. We can wait. Aha, there it is. So what do you see there?
A reflection.
A reflection. A reflection of what? Where's the sky? Where's the... It's reversed. It's a reflection. It's a little hard to tell, isn't it? Can we see slide two? There it is, upright. And what do I mean by that? Well, we know, and somebody at the conference brought this up too, but remember what happened when, and I don't know how this got back, it has to be somebody that was converted, one of the priests, but they said that the whole council looked at Stephen and they saw his face like the face of what?
Angel.
This is pretty encouraging. He was dwelling and focusing on the person of the Lord Jesus. That's the lamp that was shining out of him. And we know even as he went on, it gave him fantastic confidence. He knew he was probably going to die. You know what? He wasn't thinking about dying. That sounds kind of crazy, but I really believe that, and we'll ask him that someday. He was just focused on the person of the Lord Jesus. He was getting filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, when he was in the middle of it, right, he looked up, and he says, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of God, as I remember it. So there he was, interceding for him. He was perceiving the very person of the Lord Jesus. He was reflecting the very person of the Lord Jesus. And this is what happens with us. This is a privilege of the Christian life. And this is part of the reason why we meet together. Which, as we go on here, and I'm not going to go too long, but this is something that we'll talk about a little bit more. But again, back to this person of the Lord Jesus being the light. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are these that, I know you guys can even say it, testify of me. See, the word is the vessel, but the light is the very person of the Lord Jesus, given to us by the Holy Spirit. See, we can read the word, go to church, prayer, even the breaking of bread, but still lack of the perception of the Lord Jesus. All these things have to be done. And you know what I can tell when I'm not looking at Jesus very much, when I can be doing these things? You lose self-control a little bit, which is the gift of the Spirit. And that's a symptom of not resting, abiding, and worshiping, and taking our eyes off of the light of the Lord Jesus. And we fall quickly when we do that, because that old nature, until we meet the Lord face to face, that's not going anywhere. It's going to be there. Anybody that preaches to you anything else is lying. I got another picture as David's I took to get off of Instagram. Oh, shoot, it's too light. Well, there's a little tiny rope here above 3,000 to 5,000 feet straight down. And when you're walking, even though it's very beautiful, you've got to keep your eyes on that rope that you walk. And know it's true in the Christian life. We have to keep our eyes focused on the person of the Lord Jesus, or we stumble. And it's all right if we stumble, because we know that here's the good news. The good news is we know we have to get our eyes back on Jesus. It's just a simple thing. But it is a life or death issue for us. It's a choice of life and death. And in this case, we're saying light and darkness. And this is why it's important we do get together. And it is important, is the Word of God, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because the light of Christ is in our brothers and our sisters, and God knows this. If God made it and intended it for us to get along in the Christian life by ourselves, we could, but my testimony, we can't. See, if we get alone by ourselves, the devil knows we're a better target. And we get more and more in love with our own opinions and what we think is right and wrong, instead of what God declares is right and wrong. See, it's easy and it's as simple. You can tell somebody when they've been with Jesus. Now, maybe not to the extent they saw Stephen's face, but I think sometimes, and you know what I'm talking about, you see it almost the same way. You come up to a person and their face glows with the person of the Lord Jesus. You could be having the worst day of your life and they shake your hand. And it almost is like you get set up, you're straightened and quickened and changed in a nanosecond. That's fellowship. But there's another reason. What always applies in such a universal concept of the gospel to the individual, that the whole body would be full of light, applies to the church. It applies to every local assembly. Wherever two or three are meeting together, this exact same principle applies. Where Christ is the focus, where Christ is preached. And again, 2 Corinthians, and I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians, this whole section in chapter 2, I believe it's 3 here. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This whole section is talking about Moses and the veiled face and all of this. It applies so much to this message. But we can't go into every part of the word, because I want to stay focused on what this is. The health now of the church, being focused on the person of the Lord Jesus. When I say the church, just any group of God's people. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says this, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake." It's a wonderful verse. There's wrapped up what every church's ministry should be, preaching Christ. Now, my son-in-law and my daughter have I believe it's Thursday night prayer meeting, Bible study in their house, Jan, Thursday, and it's really got quite big, and they go to a quite big church. Now, I'm getting a little old, so I forgot who I told this story to. Maybe you've already heard it here, I don't know. But, because I'm pretty proud of Thad's response. Thad's pretty much one of the leaders, if not the leader of this group in our house. And if you know Thad, he's a very unusual character. Hopefully he'll come to the conference next year. But they are going to a church and they have this wonderful Bible study where they're going through the Word of God. Right now they're going through the book of Jonah. We just went through the book of Jonah on Friday night, not that long ago. And we know the excitement and the joy and the power of the Word of God and how it comes alive as God shares to each person that reads the Word and shares the Word. But this, it was the intention of this church, which is pretty big. I don't know how big is it, Jan? I don't know. Pretty good size. That you, instead of studying the Bible, what you're going to do, and in fact, I'm going to do this today. I don't want you to study the Bible next week. I just want you to talk about my message. Well, you're not going to do that?
No.
Thank you. Thank you for saying no. But you get the point. So here's the pastor, the head pastor, comes to their Bible study to sit in on it and says, you can't do this. He says, you're supposed to be talking about the message. His dad told him, we're not going to do that. We're going to study the Word of God. Well, they were fully prepared to break off from the church and start their own thing going up there. Well, that pastor, I don't know what happened, he left. A new pastor came and heard. The new pastor came to the Bible study again, and he sat down, and he saw what was happening amongst God's people. And he said, this is the pattern we need to have in every one of our Bible studies. We need to just go through the Word of God. So there it is, the very person of the Lord Jesus, revealed through the Scripture, of course. But that's the health of every assembly. Is that company and people fixed on the music, the pastor, or the person of the Lord Jesus, who's the light of the gospel, who's that light that shines into the darkness, who's that light of every believer? Look at verse 18, what verse 18 says here of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. But we with unveiled face, there's Stephen, there's you, there's me, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This power, that light that is in every believer, is transformational. And it's well able, we know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, to chase away every darkness known to mankind. And as we're going through the book of Matthew, and I speak of a very living and alive brother who's with the Lord now, he was filled with a legion of demons. And now he's filled with the light of Christ. And I like again what Ed said. This is God's original intention, one where he will not be denied to fill his whole body with light. Now that's for us individually and corporately. This is the end. This is the testimony of the book of Revelation. Beginning in Genesis, ending in Revelation, that whole body of his will be full of light. The Lord bless his word.